Now prepare your hearts to receive the word of God. Let's welcome our pastor, Eddie Swan.
Well, Happy New Year. All right, well, let's jump right into today. I enjoy, this is one of my favorite sermons of the year, to doing the, I call it the year in review. And I'm just kind of, we're going to kind of look back. We're going to look at some of the foundational things about new beginnings. And we're going to look back and we're going to see what some of the things God has done. And I'm going to give you a glimpse into the new year and what we are, what we're looking to do as a church in 2023. So if you would hold up your Bibles and honor me that way, I would appreciate it. And let's make our proclamation like we do every week. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Golly, you're so good. Well, let me tell you, guys, 12 and a half years ago, 12 and a half short years ago. How many of you remember where you were 12 and a half years ago? 12 and a half years ago, we had started a Bible study in the Vegas living room. Would you guys stand up for a minute if you would? Reggie and Jenny Vega and the Vega family, our close, dearest friends, they said, hey, we believe God's calling you to start this church. We believe God was calling us to start this church. And so on a Tuesday night Bible study in their living room, six whole people showed up. Six. Oh, I was very discouraged. Can I help you? People behind me. Y'all got to let me know when that happens. Six whole people. I was thinking, man, we're going to start a church. We're going to have like 86 people show up the first day. Six. And we were two of the six. Yeah. They were two more, and the other two are who knows where. One of them is Jenny's mom, and she's at a church in Franklinton, and the other gentleman, I don't know. That wasn't counting kids, because we had a pile of kids. Six people, and look what God has done. I did a lot of things wrong over these 12 and a half years. I told you this story before. Somebody gave me a book. I was about 6 months into the church planting, and somebody gave me a book, The Top 10 Mistakes of First-Time Church Planters. I received the book with joy, and as I began to read the cover, I started to get a little apprehensive. I'm like, do I really want to read this? I'm not sure, because I have a feeling, just a hunch, that I've probably committed some of these. Little did I know I'd committed all 10, some more than once. And yet, as I'm reading, one day I'm crying out to God, I'm like, God, I'm such a failure. I've done all of these. And he's like, see, the problem is you're focusing on you. And this ain't about you. This is about me. I closed the book, put it on a shelf, never picked it up again. God gave Peggy and I a vision for new beginnings. If we have the vision, could we pop it up there on the screen? There it is. The vision of new beginnings is to be, is to reach the North Shore community. We call the message of Jesus the life-giving message. How many of you, the message of the cross is life-giving? It's a life-giving message of Jesus Christ, and to teach those we reach, we call them true disciples. We want you to grow up and be what they call a true disciple, a complete disciple. A complete disciple then begins to share what God has done in their life with other people, and then those people begin to follow God, and the cycle continues and goes on and on, right? You say, that's a lot to remember, Pastor Eddie. Here's how you remember it. Our vision is to reach and teach. We don't just want people to know Christ. Yes, we want people to come to Christ. We want people to get saved. But we don't just want you to just get saved. We want you to get saved and grow in your relationship with God, which is why we provide opportunity for you to do that here at New Beginnings. And so the vision of New Beginnings is based on two very familiar verses of Scripture. One is known as the Great Commission. How many of you know the Great Commission? Right, Jesus said just before he went back to heaven after rising from the grave, he said these words, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age." Our vision is also founded on another very important verse of Scripture known as the Great Commandment. And I'm going to tell you why this is important in a minute. Jesus was asked by some religious people, they were trying to trip him up, "Hey, teacher, can you tell us what's the most important commandment?" They were talking about the Ten Commandments, trying to get him to say that one was more important than the other. And what he said was, "Here's the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." This is what he said, and the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now remember, the Ten Commandments are basically two commandments. The first four are about loving God, and the second six are about loving others. That's it. And so Jesus really just summed it all up in those two phrases. Love God, love others as yourself. And that's what it's all about. Now, why do we include that as part of our foundational scripture? Because I'm telling you, I want you to become a follower, a learner, someone who seeks after the heart of God. But you're not going to run after God until you first fall in love with him. So we try to provide an atmosphere at New Beginnings where you can fall in love with Jesus. And so we're going to introduce you to the person of Jesus Christ. We want you to know him. We want you to grow with him. And when you fall in love with him, you'll follow him wherever he asks you to go. Kind of like me and Mount Peggy and I. Leave your church. Leave your business. Come follow me in full-time ministry. And some of you think, not me. That's what I thought. Until I heard the voice of God say, "Leave your business. It's time to come follow me in full-time ministry." And I said, "Okay, God, I'll do it." And ever since that day, I want you to know, every time God has said, "Now you're going to take the next step. Now you're going to take," I just do it. And sometimes people around me are like, "Are you sure? Are you sure?" I heard God say, and if God said, we're going. We have a vision. Now, our vision, just so you know, our vision is what we exist to do. It's what God has called us to do as a church. Now, we also have a purpose. Every one of you has a purpose. This is why you exist. The why we exist is our purpose. This is what our purpose is. To be a life-giving beacon of hope, a sanctuary for the hopeless, and a haven for the downtrodden. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me stop right there for a second. Wouldn't you say that the world we live in is pretty hopeless? Anybody, any news watchers in the house? I don't watch the news because that ain't no good news. I keep looking. Maybe on this channel. And I haven't found any yet. And it depends on which channel you watch will depend on the slant they give the news. If you watch a channel that's more in tune with your political agenda, then you're going to like what they have to say. And if you happen to watch one that's not in tune with your political agenda, you're not going to like what they have to say. And the same goes for the other side as well. Because they slant the news, in case you didn't know. New Beginnings Church wants to be your place for a fresh start. Your place for a new beginning. Thus the name. There you go. You catching on to this? All right. Now, Jesus was asked a question by some religious people. They said, they asked his disciples, why does Jesus hang around with tax collectors and sinners? So you may come to church here, and you may see people you know from the community, and you may say, "I saw them in a bar room." Well, here's the question, what were you doing in the bar room? I saw them, doing this, or I saw them doing that. And I never forget that. I heard this story years ago. A lady goes to her pastor and she says, Pastor, I'm leaving the church. And he says, well, why? You've been a faithful member here for a long time. She says, well, you know, I come to church and I see these people in church raising their hands during worship and acting all holy. But I see them out in the community and I got flipped off by one of them the other day in traffic. And so I just can't, the hypocrisy is like really messing with me. So he says, can I ask you to do me a favor before you leave? She says, absolutely. He says, he gives her a glass full of water. And he said, I want you to take this glass, and I want you to go walk around the outside of the church. Try not to spill any. So he says, take two laps around the outside. So she takes her little glass, and she's walking very gingerly, trying to not to spill the water. Comes back after two laps, and he says, puts the glass down. Well, I spilled a little bit because it was just really full. And he said, let me ask you a question. While you were outside, did you notice the beautiful new flowers and landscaping we just put in? She said, no, I was too busy focused on the glass. Well, did you notice that beautiful camellia tree out front blooming full of flowers? I don't even know what a camellia tree is. She says, I know they bloom. I get that. She said, no, I was too busy focused on the glass. Did you notice the new sidewalk we put in? No, I was too busy focused on the glass. You see, that's the problem. You are focused on the wrong thing. All this beauty is all around you, and you are focused on a glass of water. Lady, when you come to church, you can't focus on all these people. We all got problems, folks. You got to focus on Jesus. And so we want you to come to a place where we're not concerned about your past. We're not concerned about where you were this morning or last night or if you whooped your kids in the car before you got out. Sometimes you got to do that. You going to church, kid. I'm right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we had some arguments a few times. But let me tell you, you know, in my house, when my kids growing up, of course, I was a pastor, so they didn't have, it was no choice. You're going to church because of where we at. You know, this is what's going on. Jesus said this about why he hung around with tax collectors and sinners. He said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I want you to know, new beginnings will always be a place for sick people. And look, every one of y'all all sick. Y'all got a problem. I got one too. I'm not just singling you out. I'm saying we all got a problem. We all need to be here. So get this. I want you to just wrap your head around this. New Beginnings Church is not going to be a country club for the spiritually elite. We're a hospital for sick people, of whom I am the chief. All right? But Jesus loves me the most. So, all right. Now, if you don't know what God's called you to do or what God's called you to be or what God's called you to do or why he's called you to do it, it's going to be very difficult for you to do it. Now, every one of us, as I said, hey, we have a past. Now, we can allow those pasts to dictate our current and also dictate our future. Many times, based on our past, we'll usually determine kind of the trajectory of our future, but you know it doesn't have to. We have a past. You are not your past. Your past was a season of your life. It was an event in your life. Listen to me. Your past is not a person. Even though people will try to identify you with your past, they'll even call you by your past. They'll call you those names of your past. They'll call you by those things you did. Ignore that stuff. I'm a new creation. And because I'm a new creation, I'm going to walk free in Christ. God told the children of Israel after many years of rough times. I don't know if you ever read the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you read the history of the children of Israel. They went through some really rough times. They went through 70 years of captivity in Babylon. They had bad kings and good judges and bad judges. And they went through winning wars and losing. They went through all kind of stuff. And Isaiah gives them this word in Isaiah chapter 43. And I want you to know, I believe this word is for the people of God today, and this word is for us who have a past. This is what he said. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. God is telling the children of Israel, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? It springs up. Listen, I'm going to provide streams in the wasteland. I want you to understand this. What you were is irrelevant to God. Amen. All he cares about is where you are. And if where you are is here, surrendered to God, you're in the right place. Amen. The second verse of scripture that's important for us when it comes to our past is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul's telling the church at Corinth, therefore, if anyone, say anyone, is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and it says all things have become new. Amen. When you come to Christ, you're a new creation. Now, you get to choose, are you going to live in the things of your past, or are you going to live in your new identity in Christ? That's up to you. I'm choosing to walk in my new identity. What I was yesterday is irrelevant to today. Yeah, there may be some things I got to go clean up, some things I got to go fix, but just go fix them and deal with them and then walk free. Amen? Amen. Maybe some of you might describe your past in words like this: tumultuous, chaotic, dysfunctional. Anybody grew up like I did in Dysfunction Junction? Yeah. Yeah. There's an intersection right there. Yes. Whatever your past was, it was. Now listen to me. But your belief will dictate your behavior. So when you begin to believe that you are who God says you are and that you have what God says you have, you'll begin to behave like it. Your behavior will begin to follow what you believe. But if you believe that you are what your past has told you you are or what people have labeled that you are, then you'll begin to behave like that. You get to choose that. All right, so besides a vision and purpose, we have a set of values. And I want to try to go through these kind of quickly. And I want to tell you, obviously I'm going to give you the new word for the new year. And we're going to talk about that. We have a set of core values. Our number one core value is what?
Jesus.
Y'all been listening? For 9 weeks, I talked about number one core value of New Beginnings Church.
Jesus.
Jesus, right? Because Jesus matters to our daily lives. And if you read Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen to me. Jesus matters to your daily life because God gave him the name that's above every name. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, I heard louder golf claps. It's Jesus plus nothing that gets you to heaven. It's not religious rituals, it's not traditions, and it's not religious practice. It's Jesus plus nothing. Amen. Number two, Now, the rest of our values are not in any particular order. They're just our values. I just have them listed. So number one is Jesus, but the rest of them you could put in whatever order you want, depending on what's happening. So we value the application of Scripture. I talk about Scripture because I believe that teaching the Bible should be for life change. I believe when the Word of God is preached and the people of God begin to do what the Bible says, we began to see our lives change. Can anybody testify to that?
Yes.
Yes, amen. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us, do not merely listen to the word. So if I just got up here on Sundays and give you a theological lesson on Scripture, well, this is the Greek word, and this is what it means, and you might leave and go, oh, that's fantastic. I know a Greek word or a Hebrew word, and that means something. But how does that word impact and affect your life Monday to Saturday? If I don't tell you that, I've set you up for failure. Amen?
Amen?
So we value the application of Scripture. He said, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. There you go. All right. The third value is we value growth. We believe that real followers of Jesus grow. And if you look at the formation of the first church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves. They made it their mission to grow with Jesus, right? They had all come out of a different religion. They all come out of their Jewish background, and all they knew was the Jewish ways and Jewish traditions, and now they had to learn a whole new way. I want you to know, when you got saved, many of you may have come out of some other religious denomination or background. When I got saved, I knew nothing about the Bible. Yeah, we had a Bible at our house. It's a big white one, and it sat on a shelf. Nobody touched it or picked it up. It was like taboo. You don't touch that's the Bible. You don't touch that. Don't touch the Bible. No, I touched the Bible. I got them all over. I read them all over. And you should have one. Everybody should have one. They devoted themselves. So as we grow with God, let's grow together as a church. Amen? We value, we call them small groups. Listen, a lot of churches call their cell groups small groups. We call ours connect groups. I'll always refer to them as connect groups. We're not referring to them as small groups. They're connect groups. We value connect groups, and I believe that every one of us should be a part of a connect group. And we're forming connect groups now for the next semester that will start in February. And we want you to be a part of one of those. Find one. We do need host homes and leaders. So if you're interested in hosting or leading a group, you can either see my beautiful wife or you can go to the sign-up sheet out in the foyer and sign up out there. Just so you know, almost 3,000 people this year have attended and participated in connect groups at New Beginnings. Yeah. We value service. We believe that every member of New Beginnings, every partner of New Beginnings is a minister. I want you to do me a favor right now. Point to the minister in the room. That's good. All of y'all. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 tells us, each of you should use whatever gift you have been given to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God's grace, God's gifts. That's what that means, God's gifts. And God has gifted every one of you to serve him. You were all created to serve God. And now you just have to find your place in the church and outside of the church to serve God. Amen? We value relevance. The methods by which we teach the Bible change, the message never does. The message is the message. The message has been the message for 2,000 years, and it ain't changing. But the way in which we teach it has to change according to culture. Not that we're trying to adapt to culture, but we're trying to reach culture, right? Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season to correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Preach the word. That's all you're ever going to get at New Beginnings is the word. We're going to preach the word. Amen? We value, the next value is we value unity and diversity. We like to focus on the things that unite us, not the things that divide us. For instance, if I brought up something like politics, hey, there's the one. Or I brought up like vaccine. And, you know, one part of the church may say, yeah, I'm all about it. The other part may say, I'm not. And I could cause a rift. You know, listen, you want to get vaccinated? Knock yourself out. If you want to vote this way or that way, knock yourself out. Doesn't mean I have to agree with you, right? Now, Amos tells us, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? The prophet Amos is telling us people don't walk together in unity unless they agree to do so. I want you to know, as a church, regardless of our differences, we're going to choose to walk together in unity. We value people, all people, not a particular color of people, not a particular race of people. We value all people. You know why? Because all people matter to God. Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save all who were lost in sin. Not some, all. We value church. Do you know that church planting for us is a priority? New Beginnings, it was a church plant 12 and a half years ago. One day, New Beginnings will start a new church called New Beginnings somewhere, hopefully here in our, somewhere in our vicinity, in another country. But we're actually kind of working on that now of starting a new church. Listen, Jesus loves the church, and he's coming back for the church, his bride. We value prayer. Last but not least, we value prayer. Prayer is important because prayer changes things. How many of you can testify that a prayer has changed something in your life? Amen. All right, again, the golf clap. Like, guys, this is like Jesus we're talking about here. This is like, the God of the universe that intently listens to you as you pray, that loves you so much, he went to a cross, he answers your prayers. Yes. This is what Jesus says about prayer in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. I ain't make that up. That's in the Word, folks. You can go read it for yourself. Mark chapter 11. Prayer is the greatest tool you have in your spiritual arsenal. I believe our church needs to be a church of prayer. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. We have to be a house of prayer. We have prayer nights. Listen, when we have prayer nights, this is not just for a select few. And that's what starts to happen. The year starts off, we have 50 people show up. The first night of prayer, by the end of the year, you got 12. Now, I realize people got stuff going on, and you can't always be at everything, but listen, it needs to be a priority. All right? So here we are 12 and a half years later. Look what God has done. Amen? Amen. God has been good. Let me tell you a little bit about the journey. I'm trying to get to the end. I promise you, we're getting there. I don't want to go too fast because this is important, and we only have one service today. You got nothing to do. January 1st. For 11 months, right after the Vegas house, we moved over to Northlake Christian School. They let us use a couple of classrooms at night on a Tuesday, and we met there for about a month. A friend of mine who pastored a church in downtown Covington at the time, it's no longer there, let us use his facility on Saturday nights. And so we were only a Saturday night church for 11 months. We only met, it was great, except during LSU football season. And we would be like 80 people one week and 30, 35 the next. Like, what happened? LSU football's on. You really see what people's devotion is, you know, to Jesus, LSU, Jesus. I mean, you know. We met, we found a place on North 4th Street down there by Popeyes. We met there for 5.5 years. We were in downtown Covington at 227 North Jefferson in the old original First Baptist Church building that was built in 1948. We were there for 3 years, from September 2016 to August 2019. Then we moved over, we bought this in the meantime, moved over to the Furman Auditorium. We met in the Furman Auditorium from August the 25th till March the 1st of 2020. March the 8th, we had to move out. So March the 8th, this wasn't ready. We met at the Florida Lease Center in Mandeville, March the 8th and March the 15th. And then guess what happened? COVID shut the world down. And I was like, hey, God, is this some kind of a funny joke? Because I'm not really laughing. I'm not really like too excited about this. We just finished this building. I believe this was from you. All of a sudden, we're done. We're ready to move in, and we can't use it. God has an interesting sense of humor. We bought this place March the 15th of 2019 is when we went and signed all the papers. And September of that year, we started construction. I'm so naive when it comes to commercial construction. I'm like, we're just going to put a few walls up. What's the big deal, right? I mean, this was a furniture store. This is Furniture Mart. And the nice folks at Furniture Mart sold us their building and incentivized it for us to be able to buy this. And then we bought the field next door. That's ours as well. And You'll see some work going on out there. I'll talk about it in a second. But we renovated. It took from September 2019 to March 2020 to finish the construction. We could not meet here until May 17th, 2020. And our plan was we're just going to have one service because we didn't know what to expect. And the Lord spoke to me weeks before it was time to open while we were during the quarantine. And he said, no, you're going to open with two services. And we did, and we never looked back. And it's been growing since then. Amazing 2.5 years since we have moved in there. Let me just tell you, numbers-wise, we've grown over 80% in attendance since then. We've grown, our online attendance has grown by over 100%. We've grown as a church financially 150% since then. Imagine with me, 6 people in week 1 in their living room to now nearly 400 people a week meeting in person, hundreds online. I mean, it's people all over the world watch our church. Can you imagine that? I can't. I mean, like, really? What you, yeah, I mean, church is everywhere. Just find, you know, find another one. This year, nearly 20,000 people have walked through our doors. That's a lot of people. 20,000 people have come through our doors. Here's what we've done in 2020. So I started to think about all the things that we've done as a church. So earlier this year, we were having a space issue. And so what I did was I started to kind of tighten up chairs and tighten up rows. And we added 50 seats initially. And then we moved that wall. Remember, we did the wall expansion. And we added another 100 seats then. So 150 seats were added to our sanctuary this year. Let me see. Where are we? Oh, this past Easter Sunday, 680 people came to church over Easter weekend at New Beginnings. Yeah. Our financial budget, so year one, was less than $20,000. By the way, that included my salary. Yeah. This coming year, like when my financial board met and said the number, I was choking. We'll be over $1 million and like, woo, that's a long way from 20,000, I'm gonna tell you. We've seen over 800 people saved at New Beginnings in the last 12 and a half years. A little more than 400 people were baptized since we started New Beginnings, and 56 this year. We've had about 150 babies dedicated, and in our discipleship. You know, I told you, part of our vision is discipleship. We want to reach you, but we also want to teach you. So this year in our discipleship classes, our Get Started, which is our partnership class. If you've never taken Get Started, the next one is January the 29th. After the 10 o'clock service, we'll feed you lunch, take care of your kids, and I get to tell you the whole story of New Beginnings and love for you to be a part of that. We had 104 people go through Get Started and 89 partnered with New Beginnings. Yep. 46 people went through Get Equipped, and 43 people went through Get Empowered, and 32 people went through Get to Work. 24 people finished all 4 growth track classes. Oops, we're dropping stuff everywhere. And so now what we decided to do was when you complete all the growth track classes, you're going to get a t-shirt like this one that says Connected. And it's got our logo on the back. And so you get that at a certificate of saying you've completed all of them. Those people, I'm going to list them for you real quick. Bobby Joe Ball, Teresa Boudreaux, Jessica Brewster, John Brewster, Karen Brewster, Lillian Brewster, Rick Bruce, a lot of Brewsters in the house. Kerry Bush, Dee Catanese, Robert Catanese, Marla and Trent Kleinsmith, Lynn Donjou and Dr. Joe, Stephen Hines. He's looking at me funny. Stephen Hines, I don't look at no Stephanie. Caitlin Hoover, Bradley Jenkins, Heidi Jenkins, Sherry Kidd, Alicia, Allison Lucia, Justin Plummer, Kayla Rappold, Dee Roberson, Emily Rowell, Tommy Savoy, and Suzanne Vadrine, all completed, all 4 of the classes. And so there was a table. I think you all received your stuff already, but there was a table out there with your certificates and all that. So we're excited that you've done that. And if you want to do that in 2023, yes, Forget what year we're in. So I'm going to skip some of this stuff, because if not, we'll be here to 3. Our church is involved in missions all over the world. You can go look at our missions board out there in the foyer. We support missionaries all over the world. You heard me talk about church planting and how church planting is a priority for us. I want you to know how much of a priority. We support churches. Matter of fact, one right in Baton Rouge, you met my friends at Capital City Church. They came last year, preached for me 1 week. And we support them financially. We send them money every month to help them keep things rolling and keep things moving along. And so right there in Baton Rouge near the LSU campus, Ben Comer and Shelley, they're doing a fantastic job and killing it. And I don't know, starting a church is probably the hardest thing you can ever do. And so we'll come alongside church planters and help them. But we're on almost every major college campus in this state. We are supporting missionaries trying to reach college kids. We're taking care of homeless people in New Orleans. We are supporting people who feed the homeless and take care of the homeless. We support Habitat for Humanity, of course, Angel Tree. We have, again, adopted the hurting and the helpless during the holidays. We help single moms. We sent kids back to school with gift cards for shoes and clothes and supplies and all that fun stuff. And you guys did that. And we send kids back to school well-equipped. We gave away 400 Thanksgiving dinners at Thanksgiving time. And next year, I want that to be 1,000 or more. Our theme for 2022 was Help One. It was the year of ministry. It was the year that we began to do ministry. Not just begin, but it's the year we focused on doing ministry in our community. Thus the reason we did all those things. We're going to continue to do that, but this year, 2023, is going to be the year of worship. It's the year of worship the one, is what we say. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that you can worship, but the one thing that you should be worshiping is Jesus. Amen? Yeah, amen. Now, our theme verse for the year is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is what it says. Do we have it? There it is. Therefore, now remember, we stop right there. Remember, when we see the word therefore in Scripture, we stop. We ask ourselves, what's this?
Therefore.
Right. And so here, in this case, if you read the book of Romans, I encourage you to read the book of Romans. And if you read the book of Romans, chapter 1 to chapter 11 are all about the things that Jesus did for us or on our behalf. And then all of a sudden you hit chapter 12 and he switches gears. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of all that Jesus has done for you, on your behalf, in view of all of that, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So we see here in Romans 12, 1, that Paul's saying we're to bring God everything. A living sacrifice. He don't want you to die. He wants you to live. He wants you to live sacrificially. How do you live sacrificially? Well, you live sacrificially by giving sacrificially, serving sacrificially, loving sacrificially. And when you do those things, you know what you're doing? Worshiping Jesus, because you're living the way that he's called you to live. Amen?
Amen.
God's plan for every human being on the planet was to live with and for purpose. At New Beginnings, we want you to live on the purpose this year of worship. And I want you to learn. Remember, worship's not just 30 minutes on a Sunday of us singing, clapping, raising our hands, and shouting to God. Now, that's great. I love that part. And I know Kevin and Carla love that part. But I want you to know that's only one part of worship. Worship needs to be displayed in your life every single day, at every moment of every day. Now, this is what I'm going to ask you to do this year. And we do this every year at New Beginnings. We start the year off with a 21-day fast. And I know the minute I say it, you're like, not doing that. I'm not saying you got to not eat anything for the next 21 days. I'm saying sacrifice something, and then include in that 21 days Bible reading and prayer. And if you'll include Bible reading and prayer and fast what you can fast over these 21 days, I promise you, we as a church will come back together by the time we get to the 22nd of the month. We're going to begin to see a move of God that you've never seen before because we're all focusing on the one. Amen? All right, would you stand with me? I got a lot more to say, but kept you long enough. Golly, that's a lot. I think this could be a book. Huh? Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. When you want to come say it? My wife told me to remind you, though, that if you serve anybody, if you serve in any way at New Beginnings, let me see your hand. Now, every one of you that serves in any capacity, you had a part in all that stuff that we've done. There you go. Give yourself a hand. If you're ready as a church to be the all-in disciple in 2023, all-in in worship, all-in in every part of your life, to live your life as a living sacrifice. If that's you, say, I'm in, Pastor Eddie. I'm ready to fast for 21 days. I'm not eating anything. I'm praying all day, every day for the next 21 days, and I'm gonna read more Bible than I ever read before in my life. If that's you, you're ready to jump right in. You come on up to this altar. Now, here at the altar, we have the new bands for 2023, the Worship the One bands. You can get one of those for free. There's small ones and large ones. You'll see the signs. Grab one of those, put it on, wear it as a reminder of your commitment to worship this year. And if you want one of these neat T-shirts that I designed, you can get one of those at the guest services counter on your way out. All right. Yeah, these are large ones, and then these are smaller ones here. There's a pile of each one. There you go. Small ones and large ones. Huh?
So how are you going to do me like that?
What?
You said you designed a shirt.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. He really designed the shirt. I'm just kidding. He designed the shirt. All right, let some people get up to the front to get their bands, and we're going to pray. And we're about to kick off the new year. You guys have set the tone for your entire year being here on New Year's Day. What a fantastic group of people you are. I'm excited to see what God is going to do in your life and in the life of this church throughout 2023. All right, if you're ready, hold up your hands to heaven. God, here we are, living sacrificially. Living sacrifices. God, your word says that when we live sacrificially, it's holy and it's pleasing to you. God, I'm thankful that you call us. I'm thankful that you ask us to partner with you into reaching the world around us. Here's what you told me years ago. One soul at a time. God, I believe together we can do more than we can do by ourselves. So God, we have partnered together with these people of New Beginnings Church as we reach our world for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you call us. We thank you that you empower us. And we thank you that you're going to be with us no matter what. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Happy New Year. We'll see you next Sunday.